Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your patience with us, and thank you for joining us today ahead of the President's Town Hall tonight in Philadelphia. Congressman Evans will be joining us in a moment, but we will get started with Senator Street. I just want to set a couple quick ground rules. If you are not speaking, if you could please keep your microphone muted, that'll help us cut out on background noise. At the end, there will be an opportunity for questions. I'd like to thank all of you again for submitting those. And if you have any questions during this program, again, there will be an opportunity at the end to pose them. But with that, I would now like to turn it over to our vice chair, Senator Sharif Street.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your being on the, I appreciate your setting this up, and I appreciate being on this call. You know, today, unfortunately, the president will be in Philadelphia, and the president will be here despite the fact that he has not provided any of the resources that we need in the city of Philadelphia to protect our first responders, despite the fact that he talks about caring about first responders and caring about public safety. That's not just police officers, but that's firefighters, that's EMT workers, that's all the people that were needed to respond to COVID. He talks about caring about the working families of people of Pennsylvania, but he has not provided the resources we need to make sure that we can address the basic needs around education, where we have children throughout Pennsylvania, some in rural areas, some in urban areas, that are being asked to go to school remotely without access to the internet because of the either failure to have urban build out or failure or the digital divide in urban communities. He is here saying that he cares about wants the votes of people in Pennsylvania, but he is defunding the post office in a way that is deliberately intended to make it harder for people to vote in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And he's in court, and we're fighting him in court, make this clear, to make sure that there are no drop boxes, to try and stop us from using drop boxes, stop us from using remote locations. And he is doing that because he is attempting to frustrate the votes of folks, but especially the votes of Black and Brown folks. He is doing this despite the fact that our communities have already been hit hardest by COVID-19, and he doesn't. And he doesn't particularly care. He is said he's going to court senior voters, but senior voters who are often the most vulnerable to COVID-19 will be most likely to get infected if they attempt to vote, and he doesn't allow us to appropriately use vote by mail. Let's get the record straight. He hasn't delivered the resources to protect communities. He has not delivered the resources needed for law enforcement. He has not delivered the resources needed for education. He is opposing vote by mail, and he is not protecting the people of Pennsylvania. So what he's doing, coming here, standing in the place where liberty is founded, while he does everything he can to frustrate liberty, is ridiculous. I think the people of Pennsylvania will reject it. People are going to vote. They're going to vote safely by mail. And we're going to elect a president in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, President Joe Biden and a Vice President Kamala Harris, that care about our communities, that will be there. And I think the people of Pennsylvania know particularly that the man born in Scranton and who lived in Wilmington right outside of Philadelphia in Joe Biden has cared about us more and has done what he needs. And I will point out that Joe Biden, when he's part of the Obama administration, helped build out more broadband. When we had viral threats, they made sure we had resources to address them so they did not become pandemics, and they did not lie to the American people about the threats in front of us. Instead, they rallied the American people to face those challenges. And so I think today we should reject the president's message, which will probably be full of lies, and we should embrace. We've got to embrace moving forward with someone who's going to provide the right kind of leadership we need to address the issues of the pandemic, address our deep economic crisis, and move us out of this mess that Donald Trump has created.
Thank you so much, Senator. And with that, we'd now like to turn it over to Councilmember Gauthier. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Councilmember Jamie Gauthier, and I represent Philadelphia's 3rd District, which includes communities across West and Southwest Philly. I want to welcome Donald Trump to Philly today. I really do. I want him to greet the thousands of families in our city, an overwhelming number of which are Black and Brown families who have lost loved ones to COVID-19. I want him to greet the hundreds of thousands of residents here in Philadelphia and around the state who are out of work and struggling to put food on the table as a result of this crisis. And I want him to greet the small business owners who have been forced to shutter their companies for good because of the havoc this crisis has wreaked on our economy over the last 6 months. Since this man was sworn into office, he has been systematically dismantling our democracy, piece by piece, and selling it for parts to his wealthy and powerful friends in corporate America. And for a while, it may have appeared like business as usual to some of us, but COVID changed all of that. Like nothing else we've seen in our lifetimes, it exposed and highlighted all of the deep inequities baked into our system, our government, our economy, and our social policies. But I want to be very clear. This virus is not the cause of our problems right now. The virus is the symptom. Donald Trump is the illness. He has had 4 years to demonstrate himself as a leader, and he has failed at every possible turn. He came into office promising jobs and a booming economy, but look at us now. Billionaires are making more money more quickly than ever before, while everyday Americans, like my constituents, are being left behind. PPP loans are going to banks and national chains, while actual small businesses that desperately need help are going empty-handed. Trump has sown division among our people and distrust of our essential institutions. He has consistently acted in service of his vanity and his ego, and at the expense of our stability, our health, and our safety. This is not what we need from a leader. Far from it. What we need is someone who can unify, not divide. We need a leader who puts people before profit. And we need a leader who believes in science and who lets the experts do their jobs. Joe Biden is that leader. He's got the experience Americans expect and need from a commander-in-chief. He will restore our safety and our stability, and he will help communities here in Philadelphia and all over the country to recover from the economic fallout that Trump himself has caused. We need to not just go to the polls on November 3rd. We need to reach out to our families, our friends, and our loved ones to ensure that they all have a plan for Election Day. This election may very well be life or death for our country. 4 more years of Donald Trump is not an option if we want to see our democracy come out intact on the other side. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Council Member. With that, we'd now like to turn it over to Representative Malcolm Kenyatta.
Thank you, and I think both of my colleagues said it very well. But you know, I want to start off with an apology to you as reporters and to all the fact checkers on your team, because you're going to have a rough night tonight trying to keep up with the spigot of lies that's going to be flowing from the president when he arrives here, because his tactic of lying consistently is really the only consistent thing we've seen out of this administration, really only behind the failures that we've seen from his administration. You know, after 4 years, or whenever you're up for re-election, and the three of us, and I know Congressman Evans when he gets on, we've all stood before voters and had them make a judgment call about whether or not their lives are better off. So the core question in this election, and I think the question Donald Trump has to answer tonight, is a question that I think Ronald Reagan made famous. And that question was, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? But let me rephrase it in a way of what Donald Trump said. He said, what do you have to lose? He asked us, what do we have to lose? And now we have an answer to that question. We've lost over 8,000 Pennsylvanians to a pandemic that he has constantly downplayed and said it would go away like a miracle, even though he was secretly talking to Bob Woodward, saying he knew how deadly and how dangerous it was. We have lost thousands of Pennsylvania businesses, many of whom may never recover and had no shot at being able to recover because the PPP program wasn't given out to the small businesses, the mom and pop shops that needed it the most. It was first and foremost allocated to Donald Trump's campaign contributors. If you look at our dairy farmers in particular, but our farmers more broadly, small family farms, they have been absolutely devastated, not just by Donald Trump's reckless trade wars, but also by an administration that is bought and paid for by wealthy corporations and by Donald Trump's donors. So we have a core question to answer as voters here in Pennsylvania, and I think I know how we're going to answer that question. Do we want four more years of lies, of absolute outright lies? Do we want four more years of someone that is not concerned with Philadelphia families, not concerned with my constituents here in North Philly, but is only concerned about his family and padding their pockets? Do we want four more years of somebody who does not believe in any of the American values that were written right here in a hot summer many, many years ago in Philadelphia? I think the answer is we have to go in a different direction because we've lost too much with Donald Trump. We've lost far too much with Donald Trump. And if we give Donald Trump another 4 years, we'll lose our entire democracy. So with that, I want to, you know, again, thank both of my colleagues again and turn it back over.
Thank you, Representative. And I just, in a moment, we are going to open it for question and answer. I would just like to announce very quickly that Representative Evans is still on a call that he began before this engagement started and is still currently on that. We're going to enter the question and answer portion. Should he jump on at any moment, what I will do is just politely ask us to pause, allow him to speak, and then we will return to question and answer. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody who responded a bit ago. I believe that, do we have Mark from Philly Gay News on right now? I see that you'd posed a question earlier, so.
I think our question, it's easy to agree with most of the speakers thus far, and being from advocacy media rather than trying to be unbiased, we are very biased in the subject matter of this election. My question has to do with, is it hyperbolic to actually say that various organizations that support Trump are hate organizations? Now, we in the gay community would say that a Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson or right-wing family organizations that support Trump because he believes in discriminating against jobs for our community is a hate group. If they are against our marriages, they're a hate group. If they're against our safety by not allowing trans people into shelters, they're a hate group. If they're allowing Trump and supporting Trump to take 29% away from the HIV/AIDS budget, they're a hate group. They're against our marriages. They're against our having jobs. They're against our safety. So the question is that not a hate group? And I ask that because there are some LGBT people who are Republicans and want to support Trump. And I would like to label the Log Cabin Republican Club a hate organization.
You know, as the resident LGBTQ person on this call, I'll take a stab at it. Let me say this. This is what we know just statistically. And Mark, I know you don't need my help sort of deciding how you want to frame things, but this is what we know by the evidence. that hate groups are on the rise in Pennsylvania and across the country because of the type of demagogic, divisive, angry, conspiracy-fueled presidency that this man has run. And if you look across marginalized communities, I think Senator Street can talk about, I believe it was in his district, where members of the Klan defaced a Jewish cemetery. We have folks who have gone after minority groups all across this country, inspired by the vitriol coming out of this administration. We saw one of the worst mass shootings in Texas history in El Paso, because the shooter said, I have to stop the caravans of people who are coming over, which was completely disconnected from reality, but what the president was pushing at the time because he thought it could win him an election. And we've seen him not only just tweet out good things about people who traffic in hate, but if you are a Republican that traffics in hate, you actually get to speak at the Republican Party, at the Republican Convention. We had two folks out of St. Louis who brandished guns at people who are right now under indictment and investigation, who got a primetime speaking slot at the Democratic National Convention. But I would just end with this note, Mark. There are a lot of people who do not vote their best interest, and a lot of people who are patently disconnected from reality. And I think the Log Cabin Republicans is one of those groups.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would add, look, I agree. Folks who don't, as Malcolm was pointing out, folks who don't pay attention to the issues that specifically impact their own communities are often trotted out in order to create as symbols, in order to create some symbolic value. So we'll see Trump trot out a log cabin Republican or one or two black faces, but while his policy making specifically undercuts the values of those communities. What it is that he's moving forward with symbolic faces as opposed to real policy that impacts and changes the lives of groups of people. But I don't think people are going for it. I think it's sort of like he went to the Southwest, where he is keeping Latino children in cages, and then tried to stand next to Latinos and say they were strong. He has policies that specifically would undercut the very civil rights of members of the LGBT community, and then he'll say, well, but this LGBT person supports me, or he'll trot out a black face while he advances policies that don't adequately fund our schools, don't fund healthcare for us, don't fund education for our young people. Betsy DeVos specifically wants to defund public schools that are largely contain black and brown children, while he'll trot out a black face to say, but I know this black person. It is a classic, I have a black friend, and therefore, even though I am advancing racism, I cannot be racist. People aren't buying it.
I think it's interesting today that the president is signing an agreement with a country, a peace agreement with Israel, with a country that has in its penal code that if you are a gay man and caught, you can be whipped 50 times. Yes, there are countries that our president deals with that allow whipping, jailing, and killing of LGBT people.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Thank you for your question and for your time. I now want to turn it over to Denise at the Philadelphia Sunday Sun. Denise, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, everybody. My question, I'm sorry for the noise. I'm in a restaurant. In fact, let me move. My question concerns the fact that the president is coming here to have a rally in a city that, as Senator Street pointed out, has had problems getting what it needs to make sure that its people are safe. But this is necessarily going to lead to a large rally. What kind of message do you think that sends to Pennsylvania voters? Is this going to cost him any votes? Do you think it'll give Biden votes that he might not have gotten otherwise?
Well, you know, I would just chime in to add, look, it's consistent with Donald Trump caring only about himself and not his supporters. He knows that it's likely to spread COVID-19. And if anyone has an example, I would just look no further than an example of Herman Cain, one of the few Black people who seemed to genuinely like and support Donald Trump. He went to a Donald Trump rally and didn't wear a mask. He contracted COVID-19 and died. And Donald Trump refused to even acknowledge him by making the appropriate expressions of condolence at his funeral. Donald Trump no longer cared about Mr. Cain because he was no longer served value to him. He didn't care to be present because he discarded him as he will discard any supporter of his that's no longer value. We've seen his supporters left and right who do things and commit crimes on his behalf, and then he disavows knowing them, because he is only concerned about himself. And this is the kind of selfishness where he would come to an urban city that is trying to get its handle around COVID, deny any resources, and then conduct himself in a manner that is likely to increase infection. And then he, of course, won't put up any resources to deal with the problems he causes. But it's consistent with the irresponsibility and selfishness of this president.
I would also add that in watching Donald Trump and his rhetoric over the past several weeks, I don't think this is a play for Philly. I think this is a play for the suburbs. And I think he's trying to sow further division by coming to our city, trying to play up the crises that were caused under his leadership. In an effort to scare suburban voters into voting for him. That's my sense of it. I think he's shown us already that he doesn't care about urban areas through his policies. Him being here today is not out of concern for Philadelphia and the Black and brown, largely Black and brown population who lives here.
Okay, another really quick question. As you may not know, he's also in town to get the formal endorsement of the Fraternal Order of Police. They're having an endorsement rally for him at FOP headquarters in Northeast Philly. In a city that has had traditionally bad relationships between the police and the citizens at times, do you think that's going to send a message to people? And also, will that also give the state legislators who are on this call a little leverage that they can use to talk about gun violence? Because you know that he's going to talk about gun violence in a way that's probably going to ignore any of the reasons why gun violence in the city of Philly in particular might be going on.
It absolutely sends a message. Unfortunately, it's the message that the FOP has been intent on sending. It's the same message they sent when they had the Proud Boys at one of their gatherings. They court and they host racists. And this is another example of them doing so. It's also the exact wrong move for us building further trust and relationships among communities, particularly communities of color in the police.
I think also I just build on that to say, you know, the FOP should be embarrassed by their decisions, but obviously they can't be shamed. We have to fundamentally change the way we deal with policing and rethink the way we deal with public safety more broadly in terms of investing in the communities and investing in the issues that create crime in the first place. But I would just say this, I hope that while he is there with the FOP, that all these folks who are supposed to be a part of law enforcement, that they ask the president about the many, many crimes that he has committed and continues to commit out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue right now. The president is basically running a criminal enterprise out of the White House, yet he goes around screaming, law and order, but there is no law and there's only disorder in his administration. Every day. I mean, I can't think of another historical analog of a president that has had so many of his senior advisors be convicted of multiple crimes, of multiple crimes. I mean, I never got over the fact that his nonprofit was literally stealing money from kids getting cancer treatments, from kid cancer organizations. I mean, and so this is the person talking about law and order? Donald Trump has created disorder, he's created division, and he has sown the seeds of a lot of you know, the violence that we're seeing, and he seems intent on continuing to stoke it. But as I said, the FOP should be ashamed.
Yeah, and I would finally just add this. While he's there, was the FOP are certainly represent a number of first responders that he refute, that Councilwoman Gaudier and people at the City of Philadelphia have to pay their checks. First responders where Donald Trump has denied resources to the city. And when he does that, he denies resources for us to pay for first responders that are police officers, but also firefighters, EMT workers. And when he's talking about gun violence, I would be reminded that he refuses to support a ban on military-grade weapons in urban cities, weapons like and things like people selling bullets called cop killer bullets that you can buy that pierce body armor that only police officers have. Democrats have been consistently saying that we should those kinds of bullets, those kind of firearms shouldn't be on our streets. They not only make the people that we represent less safe, but they make the police officers that patrol those communities less safe. So failure to support things like the ban of cop killer bullets while you stand and say you support police officers, failure to support the funding of the social determinants of violence, like a lack of proper education, not providing PTSD training for police officers, not providing PTSD training for people in the living communities where there's violence. Those things are the things he should be doing if he cares about police officers. And the fact that he has failed consistently to do any of those things means that even when he says he's supporting police officers, once again, he is not. He does not support police officers. He does not support law enforcement. He does not support safety in communities. He does not care about those things. Donald Trump only cares about himself.
Thank you, Senator. And I just want to update that this Congressman Evans is still on a call that began well before 2:30. With that, I'd love to offer one last question verbally. If you could just please follow the possible rules of stating your name, your outlet, and who your question is directed to, that will help us expedite. Again, we have time for about one, maybe two. So if you would like to be unmuted, you now have the ability to do so. So we'll give you a chance.
Bonnie Squires, Mainline Times.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hello. Sharif may remember this. Council member Gaudier is too new. She wasn't there. But years ago, when Ed Rendell was governor, he had a press conference in front of a police station in West Philly. And he was begging. I was there with Representative Jim Robach, your neighbor, Jamie. And they're all Democrats. Unfortunately, no Republicans showed up for it. And they were begging that the state legislature would pass a bill requiring people who own guns to report to the police if the gun were stolen from their car, from their house. And the Republicans refused to do it. And that still, years later, there's no law that requires people to report a stolen gun. And unfortunately, a lot of the murders that are committed on Philadelphia streets are with guns that have been stolen from people who own them lawfully. So what are you going to do when you get back to Harrisburg? So, if you ever get back to Harrisburg.
So whether we're back or not, we're conducting Senate business virtually. Senator Tartaglione is the prime sponsor. Senator Tina Tartaglione is the prime sponsor of a similar bill now to require the reporting of lost and stolen guns. I am a co-sponsor of that legislation. And so we've offered legislation, but just like then, Republicans won't bring it up to a vote. And folks like Donald Trump, who are in the pocket of the NRA and who consistently put the large special money interests of the NRA, I think, ahead of the lives of the of ordinary people that I represent that are getting shot every day, as well as the police officers that have to defend them, and really anybody that does business or who has to walk through our communities. You know, back then we talked about those shootings simply because they happened in poor Black and brown communities. And we used to say back then, I'm old enough to remember this, that if this were happening in suburban white communities, someone would care. But now we see shootings, mass shootings in suburban white communities, and folks and Republicans like Donald Trump consistently pick the NRA over children, the safety of children and the safety of people, whether they're inner city Black children that are being shot or suburban white children that are being shot, whether it's teachers that have to hide or police officers that might drop killer bullets. So unfortunately, we need Black people that aren't in the pockets of the NRA, but we do have that bill. It's a great bill, and hopefully we'll take the majority and we'll be able to move it out of the Senate. The House will adopt it as well. We'll have a Democratic majority of the House, and I know Governor Wolf will sign legislation requiring that. And you're right, common sense legislation does not affect lawful gun owners, but does stop so many of the straw purchasing and the illegal guns from flooding our communities.
Got it. Thank you so much to everyone who has called in today. I appreciate your time, consideration, and flexibility with us as we've worked through today. So to each of our speakers, thank you for your time. To all of the outlets that stayed on this long, thank you for your time and again, for your flexibility. I hope that you and your families are staying healthy and safe, and I look forward to speaking with you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.